Hi everyone, this is Tiff from the Bible Matters podcast. On Friday, Leo and I will be speaking to Dinesh Divyanathan, senior pastor of the Crossing Church in Singapore, about his series of talks from Judges. We will be looking this time particularly at his talk from Judges chapter 6, thinking about how he goes about teaching complex passages simply. We hope you find this talk as useful as we did.
Listen to God's self-declaration. The Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. Father God, we want to thank you so much for who you are. We want to ask, Lord Father, that this morning you may allow us to see you, to know you, and to believe these truths about you, that it might feed our weak faith. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Many Christians I know struggle with their faith in one way or another. Sometimes it's because of some sin in our life that we just can't shake off. From time to time, doubts creep in and we're left wondering, does God even there? Is God even someone who cares? And then at other times, we want to be bold and courageous Christians. We want to take up our cross, but then we're scared to do so. Do you ever struggle with your faith? Well, I reckon if you do, then you'd be in great company here in this hall, because most of us would, myself included. And let me ask you, what does God think of our doubting, fearful faith? How do you think God will respond to us when we struggle? I don't know what picture of God you have in your mind, but many, many people, actually for them, their picture of God is like an uninvolved grandfather. He's aloof, he's arm's length, he's in his own world, and he's largely unaware of our struggles and our sin. I wonder if that's your picture of God. Well, can I submit to you, if that is your picture of God, well, then he would be of no help to you whatsoever when you struggle with doubt and fear. For lots of other people, actually, their picture of God is more like a mean, disciplined master. Now, I went to an all-boys secondary school, and it was a riot in every sense of the word. It was a lot of fun. But because it was an all-boys secondary school, get this, we had not one, not two, not three, but four discipline masters. And one of them in particular, he was a bully. He was short, balding, always sweating, and always shouting. He walked around the school like he was the Gestapo. He loved torturing us. I wonder if that's your picture of God. Well, if that's your picture of God, can I submit to you that such a God would despise us, in fact, disown us at the first hint of doubt or fear from us. Well, friends, here's the good news. A grandfather and discipline master might be the two most common pictures of God that people have, even Christians. But actually, the Bible tells us they are way off the mark, because throughout the Bible, God is portrayed as Father. Now, the language of Father is not going to appear in our passage today, but what we will see is God's fatherly love on full display. In particular, in Judges 6, what we'll see is God, he is patient with us when we struggle with sin. He's present with us when we doubt him. And he is our peace when we are filled with fear. Patient, present, peace. That's the picture of God in our passage today. And I think what our author wants to do, actually, is he wants to lift our eyes to be so assured of the goodness of God, who he really is, so that you and I will no longer be people of doubting, fearful faith, but they will be people of bold, fearless faith. Let's see how our chapter unpacks this for us. Point one, on your sheets, the patient God who persists with his evil people. If you close your Bibles, can you open it up again? Judges chapter 6, verse 1. Our opening verse begins like a broken record, doesn't it? Again, Israel did evil in the sight of God. My daughter, 12 years old, listens to all these sermons. She comes to the 12 p.m. service. So my daughter, Emma, was listening to this series of sermons on Judges. And then the other night at dinner, she said to all of us at dinner, Israel is just so stupid. Why do they keep doing the same thing, the same wrong thing again and again and again? To which my sons replied, almost in unison, isn't that just like us? They're right, aren't they? Israel's persistent sin in Judges is really a mirror into your soul and mine, because sadly, so often, we're just like them. And therefore, if you're shocked by Israel's persistent sin in Judges, well, you should be shocked by your own persistent sin. If you're grieved at how Israel disregards God again and again, you should be grieved at how you disregard God again and again. Do you see? Israel's sin is meant to be a spiritual wake-up call for you and for me. It makes me wonder whether the alarm on your sin has been ringing loud and clear. And have you taken the necessary action yet? Well, back to our passage. God, he punishes Israel by giving them over to the Midianites for 7 awful years. And they are awful. Look at verse 2. So awful, Israel hid in dens and caves like rats. Why did they do that? Well, because these Midianites, they came and they devoured Israel's produce. Look at verse 5. The Midianites, they would swoop in, eat up all of Israel's crops and animals like locusts and leave nothing behind. Can you imagine that? Everything you plant, the moment it reaches harvest, the Midianites come and swipe it all away from you. Every animal you grow on your farm, the moment it's fully grown, the Midianites come and swoop it all away from you. It must have been terrible for Israel. No wonder in verse 6 we're told Israel was brought very low because of Midian. And the people of Israel cried out for help to the Lord. How does God respond to Israel? Well, in verse 7 to 10, God basically responds by saying, Israel, you've brought this upon yourself. I rescued you from Egypt. I drove out the nations. I gave you the land, but you messed up. How exactly did Israel mess up? Well, verse 10 tells us. Look at verse 10. And I said to you, I am the Lord your God. You shall not fear the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But you have not obeyed my voice. That's a really helpful verse. It kind of pinpoints for us the heart of Israel's persistent idolatry. Do you see the heart of the problem? It's misdirected fear. Instead of fearing the one and only true God of the universe, Israel was fearful of all the gods of the Amorites, the idols in the land. That partly explains why they kept worshipping these idols again and again. They did it to appease the idols. They were scared of offending them. Well, by fearing these idols instead of the true and living God, Israel heaped judgment upon herself. And therefore, what happened to them under Midian was exactly what God warned them about in the book of Deuteronomy. Now zoom in with me at those final words from God, verse 10. Look at verse 10, that last phrase, but you have not obeyed my voice. Those are ominous words, aren't they? What do you think God is going to do next to Israel? Don't you expect God to rain down fire on Israel, consume them, finish them, Here and now, end of story. But what we get instead is a beautiful surprise. Look at verse 11 and 12. Instead of destroying Israel, the angel of the Lord raises up Gideon to be Israel's judge and savior. Isn't that amazingly patient of God for him to persist with his evil people like that? I wonder if you can see. He's not like a mean, disciplined master who just can't wait to bully Israel into submission. And neither is he this aloof grandfather, unaware of Israel's struggle and their sin. No, God does punish Israel by sending the Midianites. But God, he's like a father, a compassionate father who patiently persists with Israel, his wayward child. And that's great news for Israel. And it's great news for you and I who also struggle with our sin. Well, that leads us to point two, the patient, present God who is the peace of his fearful judge. Verse 11 to 14, they divide into three scenes. Scene one is the call of Gideon. Look with me at verse 12. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him, Gideon, and said to him, "The Lord is with you, O mighty man of valor." I don't know about you, but when I read this verse, I thought to myself, wow, this Gideon character must have been something else for the angel of the Lord to call him, O mighty man of valor. I mean, was he a commando or naval diver in NS? Probably Gideon works out every day. Maybe he's a CrossFitter. If I'm trying to picture Gideon in my mind, I'm thinking big, bulging muscles, macho man. I'm thinking Chris Hemsworth, Chris Evans, not Chris Prickup. Isn't that what you're thinking? Well, Gideon is the complete opposite. Look at the end of verse 11. Where's Gideon? Well, he's hiding in a wine press, beating out wheat. Why? Because he's afraid the Midianites would come and steal his food. In other words, is Gideon Mr. Mighty Man of Valor, or is Gideon Mr. Cowardly Scaredy Cat? Now that should make you wonder, right? Why then does the angel of the Lord call Gideon a mighty man of valor? Did the angel of the Lord get a wrong address? He went to the wrong guy. Is that what happened? No. You see, it's got nothing to do with Gideon, but everything to do with who is with Gideon. You see who's with Gideon? Verse 12, the Lord is with Gideon. God repeats it. Verse 16, I will be with you. In other words, God, he is present with his fearful judge Gideon, and that's what makes all the difference. It can turn even cowardly scaredy cats into mighty men of valor. Now, we got to strap in for this ride, because this transformation in Gideon is going to take a couple more chapters to unfold. He's still very much a work in progress. And therefore, what we're going to see now in our text is a pendulum. This pendulum is going to swing back and forth from Gideon's doubting fears to God's patient assurance, back and forth. Notice the pendulum. Look at verse 13. Gideon questions why God didn't help them against the Midianites. But then look at verse 14. God assures Gideon of his presence. Then look at how the pendulum swings back. Verse 15. Then he, Gideon, said to him, God, please, Lord, how can I save Israel? Behold, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh. I'm the least in my father's house. Verse 16, the pendulum swings back. God's response, I am with you. Then the pendulum swings again. Gideon, verse 17 to 18, he asks God for a sign. And then the pendulum swings again. God's so patient, he shows him the sign. And then the pendulum swings back. The sign is shown. Divine fire. Gideon's so afraid. Verse 22, he thinks he's going to die. And then the pendulum swings again. God assures him. Look at verse 23. But the Lord said to him, peace be to you. Do not fear. You shall not die. Then Gideon built an altar there to the Lord and called it, the Lord is peace. Is that not remarkable? How God puts up with Gideon despite his vacillations. I wonder if you can see how long-suffering and steadfast in love God is. Like a father, God is present. He's patient. And now he even gives Gideon his peace to have faith and not fear. It's absolutely remarkable. In fact, you know what makes this even more astounding? Gideon's doubting fears here, they are very reminiscent of Moses' own doubting fears when God first called Moses centuries earlier. I think that just underlines the point, how patient and present God is. It means that for centuries, from Moses in Exodus to Gideon now in Judges, God has been reassuring his people Israel, I'm with you. I'm here for you. The picture that kind of comes to my mind of Israel is, you know, this wayward, rebellious teenager always breaking his father's heart. And yet the father, he's standing there, tears in his eyes, holding on to his son, and he's saying, I love you. I'm not going to let you go. That's the beautiful picture of God that we see here. Well, does our friend Gideon get it? Sadly, not quite yet. Come with me to scene 2. In verse 25 to 32, we see Gideon's own family was steeped in idolatry. And so, not surprisingly, God wants Gideon to destroy all the idols. Look at verse 25. That night, the Lord said to him, take your father's bull and the second bull, 7 years old, and pull down the altar of Baal, that's one of the idols that your father has, and cut down the Asherah, another idol that is beside it, and build an altar to the Lord your God. So does Gideon obey? Well, he does. Look at verse 27. It begins so well. So Gideon took 10 men of his servants and did as the Lord had told him, but because he was too afraid of his family and the men of the town to do it by day, he did it by night. What a letdown! We would have expected that now, by now, Gideon would trust God with bold, fearless faith, but alas, he's still Mr. Cowardly Scaredy Cat. How does God respond? Well, in verse 28 to 32, actually, we don't see God mentioned at all. The townspeople, they come, they call for Gideon's blood for breaking down all these idols. And we don't actually see God in the picture. However, the way this bloodthirsty mob is so easily dispersed maybe hints to us God is providentially at work preserving Gideon. Again, hinting to us how patient and present God is to his doubting, fearful judge. Which leads us to our final scene, the call to fight the Midianites. And look at verse 33, the Midianites, all their allies, they kind of gear up for battle. And what God does is he doubles down on assuring Gideon. Look at verse 34, but the Spirit of the Lord clothed Gideon. Again, that's incredibly gracious of God, don't you think? To clothe Gideon with his own spirit so he can fight the Midianites. God's patience, his presence, his peace is with Gideon like never before. And in verse 34 to verse 35, what you get is, you know, an all-round positive vibe. Basically, what happens is this. The Israeli Defense Force, they issue an open mobilization. And every Israelite reports for duty without hesitation. If you were kind of charting the mood of our text, this is the high point. Finally, it looks like Gideon's going to be our mighty man of valor. If this was a Hollywood movie, this would be the climax, right? Gideon standing in the front, all the Israelite soldiers kind of fully armed, fully ready. They're ready to go into battle, high-fiving each other, hugging each other, cheering each other on. They've got camouflage all over their face. The last thing we would expect is for the next verse to be a letdown. Again, Gideon's faith overcome with fear. Look at verse 36. Then Gideon said to God, "If you will save Israel by my hand, as you said, behold, I am laying this fleece of wool on the threshing floor. If there's dew on the fleece alone and it's dry on all the ground, then I will know that you will save Israel by my hand. As you have said." I know you've already said it, but can you just do this one more thing? Isn't that crazy? After all these assurances, Gideon wants one more sign. What will God do with this doubt-filled, fear-filled judge? Well, amazingly, God will be patient again. Verse 38. And it was so. When he rose early the next morning and squeezed the fleece, he wrung enough dew from the fleece to fill a bowl of water. We read that and we go, aha, finally, Gideon will now obey God boldly. Well, fair chance. Verse 39. Then Gideon said to God, "Edomiah, let not your anger burn against me. Let me just speak just once more. Please let me test just once more with the fleece. Please let it be now dry on the fleece alone, and on the ground let there be dew." Is Gideon not a Muppet? How many times does God have to prove to Gideon that he's with him? Well, God again, so graciously patient. Verse 40. And God did so that night, and it was dry on the fleece only, and on all the ground there was dew. Well, that's our story. What can we take away from it? Let me suggest two things. Number one, as a slight aside, you and I would be really poor Bible readers if we use this passage as a model for how we should seek guidance from God by asking Him for signs. Why would that be poor Bible reading? Well, because all the way through Judges 6, Gideon has been doubting God, fearing God, not taking God at His word, asking for signs. Basically, Gideon is a model of what not to do. And therefore, surely the last lesson you and I should take away from this is be like Gideon. Whenever you need guidance in life, ask God for a sign. Surely, that would be the exact wrong lesson from this passage. Furthermore, as people who now have the full revelation of God, the complete Bible, well, we need to realize that God speaks to us through His word in the Bible. God doesn't speak to us through random signs. If you'd like to think about this some more, we've got a few books on the bookstore about guidance, and you can go grab them later on. Secondly, back to our narrative, the big point really is to see that God, He's the hero of our story, not Gideon. God is the one who's patient and present. He's the one with the peace that He gives to His people. Gideon is still Mr. Cowardly, Scaredy Cat. In fact, I wonder if you've kind of realized how shocking this is compared to especially in the light of last week's passage. Gideon's half-hearted response is more tragic when we recall last week's passage. Do you remember Judges 4 and 5? The big call of Deborah and Barak in their song, what was it? Well, God is this warrior. He's on the march against His enemies. And He's calling for us to be His willing friends to join Him in battle. So you read that, Judges 4 and 5, and you think, okay, what God wants are wholehearted, willing people, and therefore when we come to Judges 6, that's what we're going to see. But then we get Gideon, the exact opposite. Why? Why would God put Judges 4 and 5 and Judges 6 side by side? Well, I think it's to show us God's heart for His fearful, doubting people. God is not an aloof grandfather, unaware of our struggles. He's not a mean, disciplined master who can't wait to punish and disown us. No, He's a long suffering, compassionate Father. He doesn't give up on us when we struggle in our faith. His patience, His presence, His peace, they're meant to woo you and me. Woo our doubting hearts, grow our fearful faith. Actually, in Jesus, what we see of God here in Judges 6 is displayed in full 4D IMAX glory. Just think of those three things we've been thinking about God here: His patience, His presence, His peace. God's patience with Gideon, it's a little bit like, well, Jesus' patience with His disciples of little faith who keep doubting Him, who even disown Him. God's presence with Gideon, well, it's a little bit like Jesus. And one of Jesus' names is Emmanuel, which means God with us. In fact, Jesus, He's so with us. What does He do? He gives us His own Spirit to dwell within us so we're never alone. God's peace given to Gideon. Well, isn't that exactly what Jesus won through His death and resurrection? Peace with God forever. Actually, in the light of all that, if Israel was meant to have bold, fearless faith from Judges 6, well, how much more you and me? We've seen the fullness of these things in Jesus. Brothers and sisters, I don't know what causes you to have doubts and what makes you fearful as a Christian. But I think what Judges 6 wants you to do is this. He wants you to hold up your doubts and your fears. And then on the other hand, hold up what you've seen of our good and gracious God and our Savior Jesus. Meditate on His patience, His presence, His peace. And allow that to grow your faith day by day, to be more bold and more fearless. Maybe you're here today as someone who's not a Christian. I'm really glad you're here. I wonder, as you came in today, what is your picture of God? Maybe it's aloof grandfather. Maybe it's mean discipline master. Maybe it's something else. Well, have you ever considered before how wonderful it is that the Bible's portrait of God is Father? Patient, present, He's our peace. Wouldn't it be good to follow such a gracious God? Well, let's pray. Father God, we thank You for how kind You are to us. Lord, as we look back on history, we can see how indeed You have been patient. You've always been present. You've been the peace of Your people from the beginning of time through the book of Judges, in Jesus, and even in our lives today. Lord, with whatever causes doubt or fear in our faith, would You help us, Lord Father, to lift that up to You? And we ask, Lord Father, for Your Spirit to fill the vision of our heart and mind with who You are, so that, Lord, bit by bit, we will grow to be more bold and more fearless. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.